Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. When it comes to the Massachusetts economy, most of the stereotypes are actually true. On Cape Cod, people fish. Around Worcester, they build. And out west, they're focused on upmarket produce. That's the way Evan Horowitz begins his latest column in the Boston Globe. It was inspired by a big set of data recently released by the U.S. Department of Labor, all about what people do for work in this country, where they do it, and what patterns emerge region by region. Evan Horowitz is the Boston Globe's quick study columnist. He joins us regularly, and he's in the studio now. Hey, Evan.
Hey, Anthony. How are you?
Good. I'm well. So what does this data set tell us about the economy in Massachusetts?
Well, I mean, the data set is amazing. You know, it's just, let's just lay it out. It tells us what jobs people are doing in every county across the country. You want to know how many people work as agents for sports figures in Los Angeles? You can find out. You want to know how many people are dairy farmers in Wisconsin? You can find out. And you want to find out how many people fish in southeastern Massachusetts? The answer is a lot. It's one of the most distinctive jobs in that region.
Interesting. So why have these distinct economies formed in the places they have? I mean, give us an example locally here in Massachusetts.
Well, so part of it is just geography. Where are you going to fish? In Western Mass or along the coast? And that really matters. You know, economies are tied to geographic regions. So fishing happens on the coast. And manufacturing happens in a place where rents aren't too high, but access to transit is pretty good. So in Worcester, sort of greater Boston, distant Boston. And further west, you get more agriculture, fruit, produce, melon farming. So a lot of it has to do with sort of the geographic breakdown of where you are. There's a terroir to the economy.
A terroir. I like that. Yeah. So tell me how these local economies have changed over time and what happens when there's a decline in demand for certain industry workers.
So here in Massachusetts, we're relatively fortunate. We have been for a long time. We have an extremely well-educated workforce. We have the best educated workforce in the country in terms of the number of people with college degrees. So that makes us very adaptable. When one of these industries declines, others come up. This happened to, we were a manufacturing powerhouse 100 years ago, 80 years ago, 60 years ago, and then we weren't, right? Then there was a significant decline in manufacturing, but we've turned to high tech and been able to regenerate the economy, and that has a lot to do with the quality of our workers. Not everywhere around the country is so fortunate to be blessed with well-educated workers and that adaptability. So if, for instance, just to pick a random example, the soybean industry gets hit hard for some inexplicable reason, that will hurt more because you're talking about agrarian communities, rural communities. They're less dense. They tend to be less educated, and there are less alternative opportunities.
All right. So you mentioned the biotech industry. There's an example of an industry that's booming in Massachusetts. But did the study, get a sort of snapshot of the health of all these industries? And if so, did it indicate, cause for concern about particular industries in Massachusetts?
Not here.
Yeah.
That is, these industries, so the study does also talk about wages. Most of the industries we're talking about are doing well. I mean, it's not just that fudge shops are uniquely concentrated in Martha's Vineyard, which they are. Martha's Vineyard has more
that's
sort
a,
of confection.
That's a real thing. That
that's a real thing. More confection
fudge shops in Martha's Vineyard.
Not just fudge shops, chocolates, yeah. Confectioners. More of those in Martha's Vineyard than any other place in the country.
By the way, what explains that?
What explains that?
Because that's certainly
tourists
not...
Love fudge.
Tourists love fudge.
I mean, so part of it is just path dependency.
Yeah.
People go and they have fudge and they tell their friends and the next time they go, they want more fudge and so another fudge place comes up. But yeah, it's really interesting how some of these sort of local economies start. But they seem to be quite healthy. But one of the things it does show about Massachusetts is even here in a state that's relatively small, like compared to the global economy, we're talking about 6 million people and 3 to 4 million workers out of a planet with 7 to 8 billion people, right? It's not a big place. Even here, we specialize. We don't do everything everywhere. We fish in one place, then we send the fish somewhere else. We grow vegetables in a different place, then we ship those to another place. We do manufacturing in yet a third place, right? And we rely on trade to hold the state together.
Interesting. Okay. So that leads us to this big issue of a trade war with China. And, the news on this just last night, the White House announced that it was preparing a third round of tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods. This addition would be part of President Trump's threat to levy tariffs on as much as $450 billion worth of Chinese goods. So how might this trade war affect the local economies, particularly those local economies that we've been describing here in Massachusetts?
Well, here in Massachusetts, at the moment, we don't seem to have an industry that's going to be disproportionately affected. I mean, I mentioned soybeans before, and I was being coy about it, right? But that's actually an industry that's going to be profoundly affected by Chinese tariffs because we export a lot of our soybeans to China. So there are parts of the country where producers are going to be profoundly affected. And as we implement more tariffs, you will see a greater effect. However, consumers in Massachusetts are going to be affected because the secondary impact here is that prices are going to go up. Once you start a trade war, I mean, tariffs are taxes, right? They are taxes on goods that we get from other countries. So when we add taxes to goods, we end up paying more for them. People in Massachusetts are already paying more for washing machines, for instance, because of a tariff that was implemented about a few months ago. And we were going to start paying more for everything from cars to soybeans. Well, actually, soybeans go the opposite direction. But from cars to anything that we have been importing from China, which amounts to hundreds of billions of dollars a year.
Right. Now, part of the Trump administration's reasoning for this trade war has been that China's a lot more vulnerable than the U.S. economically. Is that, in fact, true, do you think?
Shorter answer is no. But I'll tell you. But the long answer is interesting, too, which is that it looks like China's more vulnerable because they send us more stuff than we send them. So if we put tariffs up, seems like it would hurt them more because we buy more of their stuff. However, they have lots of other ways to hurt us. They don't only have to raise tariffs, but they can't match because we don't send them as much stuff. But they can make it very hard for American companies to do business there in lots of other ways. They can deny licenses. There are already reports of shipments being stalled at customs in China. If it's produce, they might spoil. And the Chinese can just introduce all kinds of red tape to make it difficult for U.S. companies. That's not the limit of it. They could also, like Trump said this week, perhaps they're interfering with our negotiations with North Korea. I don't think there's any evidence for that, but it's not implausible that if we were involved in a high-intensity trade war, they might look for other diplomatic outlets to hurt the United States.
So I want to come back to this data set from the U.S. Department of Labor that we were talking about at the top of the break. So could this trade war actually benefit any part of the state's local economy? I mean, aren't there examples from the past when tariffs actually helped some sectors of the economy?
Yeah, so there are examples. Tariffs can work. Tariffs can work if they're done right. The classic example is in the early 80s, Harley-Davidson was being severely undercut by Japanese motorcycle producers. And we put up a tariff, and the tariff was specifically designed to help Harley-Davidson, give them some time to reorganize the company. They went from bankruptcy to profitability in a couple of years, and then we eliminated the tariff, and they've been healthy more or less since. It's a good story. You need a couple of things to be in place. One, you need a strategy for exactly what you want to accomplish. In that case, it was very narrow. In the current case, it's not clear. We know we want some concessions from China, but it's never been laid down in great specificity. The other is you really have to connect your actions on your tariff actions to your outcomes. And there again, we're sort of missing these key connections. So it's not implausible that there will be benefits. It's just not clear how they're supposed to materialize.
Right. And can we use this data set? I mean, this sort of granular understanding of our distinct regional economies to help make those connections?
So absolutely. Because we know in every county, who's going to be helped? So an earlier chapter of this trade war was the tariff on steel and aluminum. At the county level, we can find out exactly where the steel producers are. They happen not really to be in Massachusetts. They're in Pennsylvania, chiefly.
Right.
And they are going to see a benefit because they're going to face less competition from foreign companies who now have to pay a tax to get their steel into the country. So in that sense, yes, we can figure out which producers are going to be hurt. But again, there are two sides to this. Helped, I should say. It's not just which producers will be helped. It's also which consumers will be hurt because, take again, that aluminum and steel tariff, it may help some steel producers. But think of all the businesses that use steel and all the consumer goods that rely on steel. All of those things get more expensive. Our cars, for instance, will get more expensive because car manufacturers need steel to make their products. So on the one hand, you can tell which industries might benefit, but the diffuse cost to consumers hits everyone.
All right. That's so interesting. Evan Horowitz is the Boston Globe's quick study columnist. He knows everything about a lot of stuff, including fudge on Martha's Vineyard, and he's a Radio Boston regular. Evan, thanks so much for coming.
It's always a pleasure, Anthony.